Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend, because my name is America.
Hello everyone, and hope you had an absolutely wonderful week. So many things have happened, it is just hard to even follow what's going on, because as we're being guided to look at one thing, we always have to think what's going on that we're not being guided to look at. And I believe that that idiocy of what Biden did by blaming the Border Patrol, he absolutely has no understanding of what the job of the Border Patrol is. I mean, really, horses were absolutely perfect for that terrain. Otherwise, how do you get a car or a truck back there? I don't think you can. And I think that that is a big issue. But that doesn't matter, because while that's going on and while they can blame the horses, then we won't be looking at what's going on in Afghanistan. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to The Prism of America's Education. And I believe that everything works because of education. And I also believe that if we did a deep dive into what America's problems really are all about, a lot of it is lack of knowledge. So are the kids graduating and they are stupid? No, they are ignorant because they have never learned. They don't know what America is, and they have no idea what it is about, and therefore it makes an easy target. I just saw an article, and the state of Washington has hired a consultant to come in and to teach white privilege to the staff and teachers. And they have a pie chart, and you get to color in your privilege. And the one who has the most colors, of course, is the most privileged. What are they going to do to these children? And my question is always the same. Okay, but can they read? Can they do math? Can they have a continuous thought process? Are they thinking? Are they analyzing? And of course, unfortunately, the answer is no. So we have a disaster in multiple fronts, and I have a wonderful guest who is well-versed on many of these fronts, and she's going to share information with us. Claire Lopez from United West, thank you so much for joining me today. It is always a pleasure to have you on. You are a wealth of information, and frankly, I like to talk to you because you have a wealth of information and share it with our audience. Thank you for joining me today. What do you think about the state of America's education?
Well, thank you, Karen, for having me on again. Glad as always to be with you again. In the time since we've last spoken, I am independent now at Lopez Liberty LLC, still working on a website, but that will come up as soon as we can get it. But Lopez Liberty LLC, which is my newly founded organization with a mission to alert and educate Americans about national security threats, and certainly the communist Marxist takeover of American academia has got to be at the top of any list of such national security threats. Of course, let's see, 60-something years ago, when W. Cleon Skousen, former FBI agent, in 1958, published the book, The Naked Communist, and included in it chapter 13 about the 45 goals of communism today, prominent among those 45 goals, and to my way of thinking, probably yours too, one of, if not the most important of the goals was number 17, get control of the schools, get control of the curriculum, get control of the textbooks, get control of the teachers' associations. Now, when Skousen put this all together, he wasn't just putting down his own thoughts. He was taking these goals from the testimony he'd heard in Congress, House on Un-American Activities Committee, and on the Senate side, Senator Joseph McCarthy's committee, testimony from communists and former communists in their own words, what their plan was, what their blueprint was for taking over America. That's where this comes from. They've had 60 plus something years now, at least. I mean, in fact, this has been going on since at least the 1930s when the Frankfurt School came to America. So they've got a very long lead on us. Generation after generation of children have been indoctrinated. And then through a cyclical or circular process, I guess you might say, a whole lot of them go back into academia as professors and teachers, as well as other key sectors of society like media and government and so forth.
You just gave the best summary of what has happened, and you are absolutely right. Unfortunately, I was one of those teachers that learned all about this, and I was expected to go back into elementary school and teach this to my students. And I saw the evolution coming through the textbooks as year after year, more and more of important American history, American documents, American government, American economics were systematically being changed and altered, so much so that when I left teaching, there was absolutely nothing in the math curricula that I was teaching that reflected on how money works, how interest works, what debt management is, and how to balance a checkbook, how to budget, all of the things that we are experiencing a lack of now. We are experiencing that lack because the students were never taught. What in fact they were taught was that the one with the biggest debt is the winner. How can you run a country in deficit spending on a continual basis when your human capital, human resources, infrastructure is all based on humans that you are refusing to educate? And I say refusing because there is a choice. And when we have 47-48% of our students graduating high school and they cannot read and write, we are churning a functionally illiterate society. And nothing is more evident than that by listening to the morons, and I will say morons, from our bureaucracy, our government agencies speak. Because each time they speak, their lack of knowledge, their lack of understanding, and their lack of understanding of consequences, they put actions in place, Claire. They never look behind to see the wake of their damage. I say they're like a speedboat.
This is not thoughtless. This is a plan. This is a blueprint. This is what they want to happen. They know perfectly well what they're doing. This is not happenstance.
You are so right. And let us remember that this is being done on purpose. Afghanistan, do you believe Afghanistan was done on purpose as well, Claire?
Well, let me just finish this thought real quickly, because I want to contrast what's going on in American academia with what is going on in our number one national security strategic threat in the world today, and that is communist China. Those kids over there are in school 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day, and then they go back into classes on the weekends for test prep. Yeah, they got a lot of tests. And in particular, the most important test is the university entrance exam at the end of what we would call secondary education, to be in competition with millions and millions of other students trying to get into the best universities, because that is the pathway to advancement, especially within the Communist Party of China and eventually the Central Committee, and you get up to the level of a Xi Jinping. when we're talking about Xi Jinping and we're talking about his cohorts in the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party, we are talking about people, the entire group of them. Not a single one has an IQ below about 150. A very strict meritocracy by which students are really pressured pretty hard to achieve academically. And those who are capable of doing that and willing to work hard enough to do that are the ones that advance. And by the time you get to the level of a Xi Jinping, you are talking about the 0.00001% intellectually of 1.4 billion people.
That it's billions of people we're talking about, whereas in America,
well, not
we're
billions,
talking about millions.
But 1.4 billion.
That, right. 1% of that billion of people is still a huge number. And that's what we have to remember. They are churning out people that know how to think. Of course, they have to think along the same lines as the Communist Party. However, they create, they are doing, and as Claire just mentioned, they are training their best to be the best, unlike America, where we're training our best to be the worst. I wanted to also mention that I noticed one of the things that they're doing is they have eliminated playing of video games. They're only allowing their students to use devices for a very short window on the weekends. What's
they can
that
have 3 hours a week. It's 3 hours a week limit.
So they have a 3 hour a week limit on a device, and we're giving the devices to our kids and saying, here, spend your entire life on it.
Yeah, so we've got overweight, pasty-faced kids who can't read or write, but they can play video games.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all. That's about all they can do. And then they don't understand why. I mean, take a look at Afghanistan. Even if we wanted to say they did it on purpose, they couldn't figure out that what the result would be. Oh, give me a break. They knew exactly what the result was going to be. And I believe they left Americans in Afghanistan on purpose so that they could pay off the Taliban, because Taliban needs money. And of course, America is going to give it to them and make sure that the Taliban is front and center and becomes the new government of Afghanistan. Is that the plan, Claire?
Well, I wouldn't put it exactly that way. We accomplished the immediate objectives of ousting Al-Qaeda and the Taliban from Afghanistan in the first few months, or several months, put it that way, after the attacks of 9/11. Al-Qaeda fled in all directions. Osama bin Laden and his fighters and family fled to Iran. Ayman al-Zawahiri and others went to cities in Pakistan like Quetta. More of them fled to the mountains between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And that was our objective. We achieved it. But then the mission got expanded. Well, how do you achieve rank and get shiny stuff on your shoulders? You have to have combat command. Ah, perfect opportunity. So what happened is that the mission morphed over time. Not only did our State Department, Noah Feldman, under the tutorship of former Harvard Dean Elena Kagan, now at the Supreme Court, not only did Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad lead that team from the State Department to write a constitution for Afghanistan that was presented in mid-2004 that placed the entire country under Islamic law, which means that every single American who fought, died, came home injured for life, was fighting in defense of a Sharia law regime, but they didn't tell them that. And this is not to take anything away from the honor and the courage of our troops who fought bravely and did their mission as it was given to them. They saluted and they did it. It's not them. It's the bunch of loons who are sitting up on Capitol Hill right now in hearings trying to answer questions for their utter incompetence. Back to China. The tippy top of the Chinese leadership, be it the Communist Chinese Party or the PLA, People's Liberation Army, the top military. They are the best of the best, as you said. The tippy top intellectually with the competence at the absolute tippy top of 1.4 billion people. What we've got up there in front of Congress today are a bunch of clowns. They have no idea the enemy we fought in Afghanistan. That enemy, the forces of Islamic Jihad. Never once have I ever heard them say that. It wasn't just the Taliban or Al-Qaeda, or now the Islamic State is there too. These are merely groups. The overall objective and the mission is Islamic Jihad. But nobody ever says that. And I doubt these guys up on Capitol Hill today have even a clue, because they've never been taught and they haven't got the individual initiative to study it for themselves. And so we spent 20 years fighting, dying, bringing home our best warriors, injured, wounded. We used to go visit them up at Bethesda, the hospital up there. Kids, you know, no legs, no arms. That's the result of fighting a war in order to get promotions and budget instead of identifying the enemy, naming the enemy, and then going after that enemy. For example, why are all the very same warlords we were fighting back in 2001, the Haqqani Network, for example, maybe a new generation now, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, et cetera, why are the very same warlords still walking this earth? Why are their villas? Why are their compounds still standing? Why are their opium stashes still there? Opium, when it's harvested, when it's cut, can be stored for a very long time. And for whatever reason, it doesn't degrade. And that's their bank account, essentially. So they go to their stash out in the warehouse when they need more money to fund the jihadi fighters. Why are those stashes still there? Why is the opium trade to this day still funding the Taliban? The same actors that gathered before 9/11 in Afghanistan, I mean Iran, I mean the Taliban, I mean Al-Qaeda, and now with the addition of the Islamic State, but minus Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia has chosen a different path under the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, and good thing for that. Abraham Accords, working with Israel, Saudi Arabia is on a different pathway now. They're out of it. Take them out. But the others, the same ones, are gathering again. These clowns, I keep gesturing because my TV is in the other room that way. These clowns up on Capitol Hill today, they have to know that, but maybe they don't. They are not the 0.0001 top percent of military or of anybody in America. My concern is that there is a lack of attention to the forces now gathering once again. Those forces are the most devout, faithful, practicing Muslims on the face of the earth, and they believe what is ordered to them by the Quran. Remember verse 839, fight them until there is no more tumult, no more division, and all be for Allah alone. They think those are the words of God, and they'll go to hell for all eternity if they don't obey them. That's what they think, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to come for us. I don't know where. Homeland, maybe missions abroad, like military bases or diplomatic facilities. I don't know. Our allies, don't know where, don't know when, but they will come for us. And I don't hear anybody among those clowns up there with all the shiny stuff on their shoulders talking about that.
Do you think they don't know, or they are just so stupid that they don't believe?
Well, maybe it's a combination of both. And with each person, of course, it's probably a little different. I think there is massive ignorance, a massive lack of understanding, actually, under lack of understanding of who the enemy is. They have been systematically denied that information from 9/11 until now, even before that, but let's say the last 20 years or so. And of course, they don't have the initiative on their own to go study anything. They have majors and captains to do their PowerPoints for them.
Oh, they're busy doing.
They don't study.
Oh, yes, they're studying. Claire, what's wrong with you? They're studying white supremacy. Please. Oh, my goodness. That's more important than anything else.
Well, that was in a PowerPoint, too.
I mean, it is really sick. And this is very scary. People have a very short attention span and they do not remember. But yesterday, the Taliban was back to their same routine, going in from door to door, bringing out the people that worked with the Americans and hanging them and cutting off their heads in the middle of the town square. Nothing has changed.
And it's Islamic law. Islamic law is not going to change.
Right.
And it's 1,400 years old. It doesn't change.
And people still, to this day, do not understand the words, kill the infidel, and we are the infidel. And they're not fooling around. They are not fooling around. You either will believe as they believe, or they will cut off your head, cut off your hands. They have brought back all of the Sharia compliant things that it's so sad to see. The change in the country was almost immediate. Here you went one day, women wearing Western garb and not having to cover their face. And the next day they're walking around with all you can see is the slits of their eyes, which of course reminds me of the masks that we have to wear. I don't think it's any different. They are trying to diminish people. And when you cover their face, that's exactly what's happening. So in America, they're doing it for a different reason. They don't want us talking. They don't want us communicating. So what's the easiest way to do that? Blame it on COVID and say, mask up and be, 6 feet from the person next to you. Ha. I believe it's all for the same thing. It is to diminish, to demoralize, and to turn the human being into a mush that cannot think and will only do what the government demands that they do. And Claire, you're so right, because we can't even name our enemy. We can't even say communist. Although I'm giving them a new name, I am calling Biden baby killer Biden after the bills that were just passed, which we'll talk about at another time. But This is the change of America. What can we do about it, Claire? What do you suggest we can do?
Well, what I tell many of the audiences, and I speak to people all over the country now, very happy to be able to get out a bit more now than before, and actually meet in person with groups around the country. And what I tell them is that this country's, our constitutional republic, will be salvaged at the local level. And happily, I am seeing an engagement at the local level by people I've not seen before. The Tea Party movement was rambunctious and enthusiastic. You know, the 2016 presidential campaign for President Trump, you know, was likewise. And boy, that rally in Georgia the other night was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
But the engagement I'm talking about at the local level is as much propelled by white hot fury as it is by enthusiasm, although they go together. What I mean is that I see parents for the first time who'd never, you know, had time maybe, or, you know, been able to engage in local politics. They're now storming their city councils. They're storming the school boards meetings. You know, they are getting behind candidates who will go up against those in office right now, not doing their jobs. It's a level of engagement that I find very encouraging. Yes, it is propelled by anger, but it's finding its expression in a lot of very positive activities. Again,
are you seeing that all over the country?
I have been in many places, to include East, the Upper Midwest, the Midwest, and then, you know, more by webinar, not in person, but, you know, yeah, I am seeing it all over the country.
Oh, that is great news, folks. That is
California.
Oh, wow. That is fantastic. Folks, Claire is 100% right. Where do you think the majority of the legislators come from? They get started in their local community. They may have been a county commissioner. They may have been a councilman or an assemblyman or whatever your state calls your elected official. But the majority of them start in your hometown. And then you get to see how good they are. Did they follow through? Did they do what they say they were going to do? Have they helped the community? And those are the people that we should elect. We need to pay attention to our state. We need to pay attention to our local community. And whenever possible, we need to join our precincts. We have to take back the precincts. There's a reason why George Soros went after the supervisor of election, the secretary of state, the attorney general, and he filled all of those local positions. There was a reason for it. And the best way to tackle a person in opposition to you is to find out their plan, copy it, and change the outcome. And that's what we have to be working on. And we can do that within our local communities. This is a big push. Run for office if you can. If you can't, support the individual that best aligns with what you think, what you believe, and hopefully it is a person who believes in America first. Claire, we are at the end of our time, and congratulations. I'm so excited for you. Would you share again where people can find you? And unfortunately, time is running out, so you'll have to come back again. I hope that's
good. I will be happy to come back. Well, very briefly, like I said, I do not yet have a website for Lopez Liberty, but you can find me at the United West, at the American Truth Project. And by the way, if you want to get my videos, a text message can come to your phone by putting in L-O-P-E-Z, my name, to 88202. And once or twice a week, or even less often than that, I'm not going to bombard you, you will get a text message to alert you to my upcoming videos and interviews. Also, I'm at the Citizens Commission on National Security. I am with the David Horowitz Freedom Center and the Jamie Glazoff Gang. I write and publish at Front Page Magazine. And also watch for the Understanding the Threat National Security Academy, which will be launching the 1st of November in 1 month. I will be providing lessons on Iran and Hezbollah. Others will cover so many other topics of national security concern. Go to understandingthethreat.com and look at how you can participate. Take one or more of these classes, these courses, understandingthethreat.com. I think that is about all I can remember for right now.
That's quite a bit, and I will send it out in the newsletter because this is very important, and this is the way we take our country back.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And I don't know how many people have been following the gubernatorial race in Virginia, but the other day at a debate, Terry McAuliffe, who used to be the governor and was horrible and now wants to go back and be the governor and be horrible again, was at a debate with Glenn Youngkin, who is running against him. He's the Republican. And Terry said that he does not believe that parents have the right to get involved in the child's education. Really? I couldn't believe that. Folks, this is pure 100% communism at play. Take the child from cradle till grave and indoctrinate them in the biggest amount of garbage that they possibly can, because they certainly are not educating. Well, fortunately, we are in Florida. I am in Florida. And we passed the bill that gives parents the choice to be able to have an absolute interest in their child's education and to bring that to school. And Pastor Rick was very much involved in getting this legislation passed. And it's something that everybody should look at in their state. Pastor Rick, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me today. And can you tell everyone about the choice bill that Florida signed? That was phenomenal, especially when you're listening to these other governors that I don't even know if they know anything about raising children. Why would you want to allow somebody that you don't know and that will only see your child for a year have the influence of telling your child how they should behave in their lifetime? That's not what education is about. Education is giving choices. That's the whole key, isn't it, Pastor Rick?
Well, that's exactly right. And thanks, Karen. It's always glad to talk to you. And it's always fun to trade these ideas. But how much more outrageous can people get than to think that they know better than the parents of the children how to work for the children's well-being and their education? I mean, to hear people like Terry McAuliffe makes statements like that is simply outrageous. Why would anybody think they know better about your child than you do? They don't even know your child's name. How could they possibly think they know best? It's hard to wrap your mind around that kind of thing, because you and I know that parents care about their kids. Parents will lay down their lives for their children. Terry McAuliffe's not going to do that. How does he think he has any sense of what's best for that child? But unfortunately, he's not the only one out there that thinks like this, and he's just the one that's been exposed most recently, and we have to pay attention. Fortunately, like you said, in Florida, our legislature and our governor signed the bill into law, passed, and now we have the Parents' Bill of Rights, which very clearly states that the parents are in charge of the child's education. It gives them a specific opportunity to be involved, and the school districts can't deny that because the law says the parents are in charge. And we think that's huge, because for too many years, we've been hearing from parents who feel like the school has been pushing them away. And I know it happened a lot of years ago when my son was in high school. I felt on more than one occasion, the school was pushing me away, didn't really care about what I thought or what I wanted for my own son. And I didn't quite know what to make of that, because I'd never experienced that before. Well, now, having worked in this a little bit more and heard from parents, we understand that that's got to stop. The parents know best. We have to trust them. We have to work with them. The school should not undermine the parents. The school should be supporting the parents, listening to the parents, responding to their concerns. And when we work together on that basis, we can really do a good job to educate our children. But if we push the parents aside, not going to happen. Just can't happen. We can't let that stand. And it won't in Florida.
You absolutely cannot. And let me just give you a little idea of a teacher's perspective. I got my new students in September of every year. I learned who they were, and I loved them throughout the year, and I would do anything for them throughout the year. But when I taught them, and I made interjections, which I did, these were my values. Now, looking back, did the parents agree with my values? I would have to say they did at that time. But if a parent objected, I changed, because it is the parent's choice, not the teacher's choice. And then as the child progressed and left my class and went into the next year, I had no interaction with that child. Whereas parents are there 100% of the time. And that's why parents know what is best for their children. You cannot take a person who only has a snapshot of a person's life expectancy. Imagine, yes, I taught the child for 9 months out of the year, out of a lifespan of what, 60, 70, 80 years? Yes, I had an influence on them, but it had to coincide with what the parents believe, Otherwise, education does not work. And the most important part of education is cooperation with parents. And the parent and the teacher should be a team, not in opposition. That's the only way that education will really work.
Well, that's exactly right. And we need to make sure everybody understands that. And we need to make sure parents understand it so that they'll stand up for themselves and for their children. You know, we have the Parents' Bill of Rights in Florida, but we've had an awful lot of controversy over mask mandates. And I know you're aware of that. It was a big issue here in the county where I live. Well, in the midst of all of that, a whole bunch of parents stood up and said, no, our children are not wearing a mask to school. They can't. And in one parent's in particular situation, repeatedly, she took the child to school without a mask, and the school ended up trespassing her, reporting her to the authorities, and told her, if you come on school property again, you will be arrested for trespassing. Can you imagine? That's what schools are trying to do to parents. Well, she didn't stand for that, and she pushed back, and a whole bunch of us continued to advocate for the parents' Bill of Rights and the parents' opportunity to choose. The governor stood up and said, no, you can't treat the parents this way. And sure enough, we overcame that. But that's the kind of attitude, even in a state like Florida that protects the rights of parents, you have to continually battle, because the people that get a little bit of power, they exercise it. And when they get a little bit, they try to take a little bit more. And we can't let the parents be intimidated or pushed aside. We have to step up for them. And we're going to do that all across this country. I don't think parents are going to stand for that kind of thing, because when you touch our children, you've touched something that's so precious to us that we'll do anything to protect them and make sure they get the best education they can. So I don't understand what's going on, but I'm real proud of the parents who step up and say, yeah, not with my child.
Exactly. And if you study anything about bullies and bullying, communists are bullies. They don't want any opposition. They don't want any competition. And they want you to just shut up and sit in the corner and do what they tell you to do because they know best. I don't know how that happens. They don't know best, and they are not experts. And we have to remember that. And the best way to combat a bully is to not allow what they're saying to stand, to take action against them. I read an article about what was going on in Oregon, and it seemed as though a teacher replaced the American flag with the LGBTQ flag and BLM stickers because she said the American flag made her feel uncomfortable. And my answer to that was, where are the parents and the children that say removing the American flag makes me feel uncomfortable? If we don't push back, we have nothing, because they will walk all over us. That is the idea. They want to make sure that we are intimidated, that we are afraid, that we won't speak, and that we will just shut up and do what they tell us to do. And we can't do that. We have to tell the truth at all costs, because it is only the truth that prevails. It was very interesting. I did a seminar, and somebody said to me, well, Karen, you're saying the same thing that so-and-so who was here last month said. How come? And I said, because there's only one version of the truth. And if we're all going to repeat it, we're all going to be saying the same thing. So we have to make sure that we are immersed in the truth and that we don't allow bullies to intimidate us, because that's all they are trying to do. Pastor, how can you be trespassing on property that you pay for?
I don't know.
I just thought of that. We're paying for the schools. This is our tax dollars. So how are you trespassing on something that you own?
It's beyond outrageous. And the example you used, I suppose a lot of people have heard about that incident where she took the American flag out. You know, I just don't understand why we put up with that. And I think we're over it. Across the country, people are saying enough already. But I don't understand, if you're so uncomfortable in this country, why are you still here? Oh. You know, I don't understand how can you stay in a place that makes you feel so uncomfortable? And of course, it's obvious, we talk about this, a lot of us do. do you not realize that this is one of the few countries in the world where you could get away with behavior like that? A lot of other countries wouldn't put up with that kind of thing directed at them and at their nation. So let's have a little reality check here on all this stuff.
And yes, I can
come into the real world.
Couldn't you just imagine a Chinese Communist Party allowing somebody to take down the Chinese Communist flag and put up an LGBTQ flag? I really don't think that that would happen. I think that person will wind up in the gulag because they will not stand for it. And we don't want to live in a country like that. We absolutely don't. Before we go any further, I wanted to tell everyone I will be traveling down to South Florida next week. I will be on Monday. I will be in Palm Beach County. Tuesday, I will be in Martin County. Wednesday, I will be in Broward County. And Thursday, I will be in Broward County. If you are interested, and I hope you are, please email me at kbshone. At bellsouth.net, and I will be happy to send you the schedule. I'd love to meet you, and this will be a wonderful experience for all of us because we are going to be talking about things we can do. This is an action tour. This is an action plan. What can we do? How can we act? What can we come together and push back on what these people are doing? Because they certainly are not doing anything that will benefit our children. Pastor will be taking over the show next week, and it'll be very exciting. He is always a wonderful host, and I want to thank you, Pastor, for taking over the show. So,
well, we'll try to do our best.
I know you will, and it'll be a wonderful trip. Pastor, is there anything, I know that session is starting in Florida, is there anything that we have to be on tackling to make sure that our legislators don't change our words and actually pass in the state what we want them to pass? What is the alliance working on?
Well, the thing that's gotten our attention the most has been this whole problem with critical race theory. And that became our number one agenda item when we began to formulate our legislative agenda. Thankfully, there seem to be a lot of other people that are interested in solving that problem as well. One of the representatives in Florida has filed a bill. We had another representative promised us he would. I kind of think there it's a little competition who gets to file which bill and which bill will surface as the one that comes out on top. I don't know that for sure, but we have a lot of hope that something will get done on that. We're hoping, and it looks like it will happen, that there will be some specific things put in that bill so that that people aren't surprised by what we mean by an attempt to push back on critical race theory. See, one of the problems that I think crops up in the schools, probably everywhere, particularly in Florida, the governor has made strong statements that we won't have critical race theory in our schools. Very strong statements. Nobody can deny that that's his position. That's the law, according to the rules that the State Board of Education has put into effect. The challenge then becomes, how do you define that? Because we've had some people that should have known better say, well, we did a search of all of our online curriculum materials and critical race theory never showed up in our search. Well, that's because the phrase might not be in there. The term critical race theory might not be in the books, but the ideas are in there. And so we believe that we're going to have to be very specific about what those ideas are and help our teachers and our school districts know what to stay away from. And part of the reason we think that is because the teachers need that kind of help. We don't want to set the teachers up for a problem that they don't know about. And if all we do is talk in generalities and we don't give them specific instruction, how will they know what to avoid and what to embrace? And we think it's important for us to help them with that. We don't want to set them up for failure or to be exposed in a way that just is not just. So we're hoping we'll get some specific stuff. We think that's likely, but that really is the critical issue, both in our schools and also in our state institutions, because many of these seminars that they have are just simply critical race theory in another set of clothes. And we need to make sure those ideas aren't continually being taught in our public agencies and departments in Florida.
And of course, we know that the left are masters at wordsmith, and they will change a definition like they did with vaccine, at a moment's notice because it doesn't fit their narrative. So one of the things that we have to do if we're going to undertake this endeavor is take a serious look at the people who authored these textbooks. Because if they are writing articles at a different platform that are adding to and supporting critical race theory and its ideas, then what do you think would be in the textbooks? They're not going to say one thing on one platform and then come and change it in a textbook. It doesn't work that way. And one of the things that I found as we were reviewing textbooks is that the authors of the textbooks, most of them come from California. That should be a red flag. And the majority of them have written and done extensive research on the promotion of critical race theory. So even though, as Pastor said, if you do a search and find, CRT, critical race theory, may not be in the textbook, its ideas are from the authors that wrote the textbook. So my question was, why do we have textbooks that are only written by people from California when we're in Florida? Why don't we have some Florida authors? Why don't we have authors in textbooks from both sides? Remember, communists will never handle competition. So therefore, they will only always show one side of an issue. They're not interested in your opinion. Actually, they're not interested in you. They are only interested in promoting what they need to promote. And they promote it in sound bites so that people never really get the drift that everything that they're doing is connected to something else. And one of the things that I was thinking of the other day as we are going through the concept of raising the debt limit and not having a budget, did you know that economics is really not even taught in school anymore? I could not believe, yes, I could believe it. They don't want our children to understand the economy. They don't want our children to be able to do a budget. They don't want them to be able to understand money and financing. And as a result, they grow up and they get jobs in our bureaucracies. And then they think that all you have to do to make their programs work is print money, and print more money.
You're right about the education, and it is sad. I've talked to people who they love economics, and some of them they don't love economics. But you know, the basics are things that everybody ought to learn. And if it's well taught, I think kids would embrace it and learn it. Kids are kids, and they struggle sometimes. We get that, but that's the whole point of education, isn't it? To stretch them. And I think you're right. We need to do that.
Absolutely. I remember when I was teaching and my principal came into my classroom and I was teaching a class on budgeting and he said, "Michonne, that is not in our curricula." And I said, "I know, it's in their life. And if they don't know it, how do they handle money?" He didn't have an answer and he walked out. This is the problem. People don't understand. So when they say, "We're going to replace your money and give you a card that will have social credits on it, and that's how you're going to derive your income," that's a very scary thing, because that's not based on what you have contributed. That's not based on your effort. That's not based on your work. That's based on your thought. That's a very scary thing, because we will have the thought police and there will be social credits. And if you listen to the Great Reset, which is what they are intending to do, all of the things that we are experiencing today are man-made. They are man-created. The Democrat Party, the communists, the globalists have created the shortages. They will be creating the massive inflation. And inflation, folks, is nothing more than a tax, because the more money that you put in the system, it dilutes what is there because you're adding more to it. It's like if you take a glass and put red food coloring in it and put water in it, it's going to be a bright red. But if you take that glass and you pour it in the pond, Do you see the pond becoming bright red? No, it doesn't work that way. It becomes diluted. It becomes so diluted that eventually it becomes meaningless. And that's what's going to happen to our money. So we have a huge fight on our hands. And I am urging everyone, please contact your legislator and tell them, vote no, 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 because let the Democrats create this mess all by themselves. And then hopefully we will get to expose them and tell the truth. Otherwise, they will be passing bills like they just passed. Pastor, this one really got me, and I have to make a comment on it because it was so egregious. This is called H.R. 3755. It is an act, and it is called the Women's Health Protection Act of 2021. And in this act, they are talking about persons who become pregnant. Could you explain that one to me? How do persons become pregnant, Pastor? I thought
I don't know.
I mean, this is insanity. So they're talking about persons who become pregnant, and that how an abortion, a lack of being, lack of having access to an abortion is like misogyny. Really? I didn't know that happened either. I thought an abortion, which I disagree with, was something that a woman should be choosing and was not the result of anything. Not having an abortion or saying no to an abortion means you're not going to kill babies. What part of that don't they get, Pastor? I'm at a loss here. This bill is just so egregious. I can't even believe that anybody passed it. And so my new name for our Democrat friends will be baby killers. So we have baby killer Joe sitting in the White House, and the rest of the baby killers are sitting in the House and Senate. I don't know how else to explain it. It's so sad. It is so
unbelievable.
Incredibly.
How do we explain this when nobody seems to want to take seriously the effect of an abortion on the baby? I mean, really, you're exactly right. It's hard to even wrap your mind around it. It's beyond sad.
What is the difference between killing a baby the day before it's born or killing a baby the day after it's born? One is called murder and the other is called an abortion. What is an abortion? Murder. Same thing. How is there any difference? You are taking a viable being that has rights. If you didn't want to have the baby, then for goodness sakes, why aren't you taking birth control? There's so many different methods of birth control. To not take it is a setup for forcing yourself to have an abortion, forcing yourself to kill a baby. Well, I have to go back to education, and I have to go back to biology and hygiene. Kids are not being taught biology, and they are certainly not being taught hygiene. And as a result, instead of having a birth control method prior to prevention, they will have an abortion after. Now, why would they be promoting abortions of viable fetuses, viable babies? Anybody think of that? Why would they be doing that? Because it's big business. Big, big, big business. There's lots of money in those baby parts. And the experimentation to use those baby parts and to profit off of them is even more egregious than killing the baby to begin with. Imagine cutting up a baby and using its baby parts. I can't even wrap my head around it. It's so awful. Sorry.
It is. I mean, and you're right. How do you explain it? There is no explanation. It's just beyond comprehension. We have deluded ourselves. And you're right. We need to tell the truth about these things, and we need to be willing to face the truth about them. That's how we get out of some of this, is by being willing to truthfully talk about what's going on. And hopefully people will begin to realize that and begin to realize exactly what you're saying, that it's a baby, it's a person, and we need to respect that life, value that life, preserve that life.
Oh, you are so right. Babies are so precious, And then what are they? Here's the other part. What are they doing? They're turning around and saying, well, we're not going to have enough population in the country, so therefore we have to bring in more illegals to fill the jobs because our population is down. Well, of course our population is down if we're aborting the babies.
Yep.
I mean, what part of stupidity? Well, there is no logic. There is no common sense. And that is the problem. Communism does not teach logic. Communism does not teach common sense. Communism teaches one thing, obey. That's all they care about. So while they are on their quest for money, power, and control, and now we have a new one. It's money, power, and control, and unlimited life expectancy. That's what they're after, how to increase their life expectancy. Oh my goodness, we need them to go away, not increase anything. Pastor, unfortunately, we are at the end of the show, and boy, today I really need a prayer. So let's close out with a prayer and save a lot of babies.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you tell us the truth, even when we don't want to hear it. And we confess there are times we don't want to hear the truth, but we also confess that when we hear the truth, it liberates us from a world full of lies. And I pray that you would move across the hearts of people all across this nation, that they would begin to hear the truth, for the truth will set them and us free, just as you said. And if there's anything that we, the people of God, can contribute to the conversation these days, it is the truth. So make us people of the truth, so we are faithful to that. And deliver us from the evil around us. We don't know what else to call it but evil, but we know that when we understand that it's evil, we also understand you came to deliver us from evil. And we give you thanks. Our confidence in you is in you. Our hope is in you. Our trust is in you. And we will prevail because of your help in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Folks, we have very, very tumultuous times facing us. And one of the things that we will be talking about is being prepared. So now, right now, today, as you are filling out your shopping list, this is what I believe you should be doing, is buying extra, because what you are seeing today on the shelves, you may not see tomorrow. And this is going to be very critical. This is a concerted effort to push prices over the charts, a concerted effort to hold back on products and services to make the Americans feel pain. And they will do that if we allow that to happen. So in order to understand what's coming forward, and in order to be able to survive the tumultuous times that we will be facing, be prepared. That's my message for today. Be prepared. Do whatever it takes to make sure that you and your family can sustain any prolonged anything that this government will offer. Think of it as being in a horrible hurricane and you're without power for a long extended period of time. What would you do? What would you need? Make sure you have backup. That's what the message is today. Make sure you have backup. Well, folks, thank you all for listening. This has been wonderful as always, and we will see you. I will see you in 2 weeks, and Pastor Rick will see you next week. You've been listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education, and my guest, Pastor Rick Stevens. Please join us on the Florida Citizens Alliance website. See what's going on. And by the way, take a look at the porn that we have been uncovering in schools. We'll talk about that next time. Thank you all for listening.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. I'm America, yes, America.